this morning as we look into the book of Isaiah chapter number 9. I want us to look at verses 6 and 7. Now Isaiah is writing some 740 years before the birth of Christ. And as if God shows him in the future, the Son of God coming to the cradle, and the Son of God going on to the cross, and the Son of God receiving the crown. Listen what Isaiah says to a sin-cursed world. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. When I look in the book of Isaiah chapter number 9, I first of all think about this, that there is a name for every need. You know, what is a name but a title? A name oftentimes would tell us in the Old Testament about the character of someone. When I think about names, every one of us have different names. When we call that name, we see their face oftentimes. So it is a title that we are known by. Now, I know there was a woman in Virginia that was going to have a baby, and she got in a terrible car wreck and basically left her unconscious. They took her off to the hospital. She slipped even further into a coma for a few days. And when she finally awakened, the baby was no longer in her womb. She began to scream. She called for the doctor, and he said, "Well, ma'am, you had the babies." She said, "Babies?" He said, "Yes, ma'am, there were twins." And she said, "Oh, my, when did I have them?" He said, "They're a few days old now. But it's okay, your brother came by and named them." And she said, "My brother? Oh, no, he's not even all the way there. I don't want him naming my children." He said, "Well, he named the little girl Denise." She said, "Well, that's not so bad. What did he name the boy?" "The nephew." Oftentimes, you'll see a child that may have taken the father's name and they added son to the end. You know, like Peter's son or like Wood's son. And oftentimes you'll see people that have a place to let you know where they live. Maybe the Hill family or the Lake family. And then there's other folks that use occupational names, you know, such as Miller or Baker or even Butcher. And I could go on and on. And some people go on nicknames. They have nicknames, short or long. You know, names are very important. But when God chose to name his son Jesus Christ, he gave him a name that is above every other name. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but at the name of Jesus. In Matthew 1:21, God sent an angel to tell Mary, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins." God said in Isaiah 7:14 that his name would be Emmanuel. That means God with us. There are hundreds of names for our Lord and Savior in the Scripture. But according to Isaiah 9:6, there are at least five that Isaiah records for us. And these are even beyond the name. They are his character. They are the very aspect of who our Lord and Savior even is. He will entirely fulfill every title of his names that are given in Isaiah 9:6 and throughout all Scripture. And in these five titles, there is a name given for Christ for every need. I want us to see, first of all, this morning, the wonder of his name. Isaiah says that his name shall be called Wonderful. The word wonderful means miraculous. Oh, he's miraculous at his birth, born of a virgin.
He's miraculous in his life, completely sinless. He's miraculous in his death. He just willed it to lay down his life. He's miraculous in his resurrection. He had the power to take his life back again. He's miraculous in his ascension back into heaven. While they beheld and spoke with him, he was received back into glory. Amen. He is miraculous in his intercession. As for some 2,000 years, he has been praying for us each and every day, interceding to the Father for us. Bless his holy name. He is truly wonderful, and he is truly miraculous this morning. Not only does it mean miraculous, but it means marvelous. I tell you what, I marvel at a lot of people. I marvel at Abraham for his faith, Noah for his shipbuilding and obedience during the time when people were laughing at him. I marvel at Job for his patience during tough trials. But I tell you what, all those folks together, no one could make me marvel like Jesus. Hey, the devils marvel at him. Hey, man, even his mother, Joseph, marveled at him. The angels marvel at him. You and I as a church today, we marvel at Jesus. But God sent his Son, name wonderful. Only those who truly know Christ can appreciate him. And we this morning know that he is wonderful. In fact, turn back with me to Judges 13. I run across one more meaning of the name wonderful. Not only is it miraculous and marvelous, but that name also means secret. You understand? Secret. Only those who really, truly know him know how wonderful he really is. Look with me, Judges 13, verse number 18. This is a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Judges 13, 18. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? It's secret. The same word, the word peleet, what it means is wonderful. My name, what's your name? It's wonderful. And the only way you'll find out how wonderful I really am is to believe me. No wonder it's a secret. Whew. My name is marvelous. My name is miraculous. Boy, I like that, don't you? Go back with me to Isaiah chapter number 9. Jesus is wonderful this morning. He's marvelous in his return. Miraculous in his return. He's coming again. Realize he is wonderful for those that have received the discouragements of life. When you're down and out, I want you to consider who he is. When you don't feel like you can take another step, I want you to consider what he's done for you already. And what he's done for you already is just a token of a promise that he's going to do even more for you in the long run. Bless his holy name. Our Savior this morning is wonderful. I have never met anyone else just like him, and yet I've never seen him. But one day I will. He is wonderful, wonderful this morning. Second of all, I want you to see the wisdom of his name. The scripture says in Isaiah 9:6 that he is counselor. You understand, Jesus is our master planner. He is our advisor. He is the very guide for our entire lives. Colossians 2:3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Only Jesus can give you wisdom. Only Jesus can tell you how you're supposed to live and how you can do it. Amen. And if he is the name for every need, then he is our counselor for the decisions of life. The devil came there into the garden where Adam and Eve was, and the devil tried to counsel Eve, and he deceived her and led her into sin and into ultimate ruin. That's the type of counselor the world and the devil are. But Jesus came, amen, and he said to Adam and Eve, where art thou? They were in sin. And he shed the blood of animals and covered their sins that they might be saved. And Jesus now is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He this morning has come to be our counselor for all the decisions of our life. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Your life is filled with problems, pressures, perplexities, predicaments, and perils. But only Jesus has the wisdom to counsel you which way to go and how to accomplish it. I'm glad this morning that I had a counselor came to me when I was sitting as a lost young man in the Balfour Baptist Church on July 13th, 1978. And the devil had tried to counsel me and tell me that I didn't need to be saved, that I was going to be okay. I was just 12 years old and everything would turn out all right. But I say to you, Jesus came and he gave me the wisdom from glory and said, if you continue listening to yourself and to the devil, you will go to a devil's hell. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. I have come that you might have salvation. If you'd come to me this morning, and I'm glad, thanks be unto God, that in wisdom he came and counseled me and saved my sin-sick soul. This morning, friend, he is truly wonderful, and he is the wise counselor. I want you to see, thirdly, Isaiah writes down that he is called the mighty God. And that makes me think, thirdly, about the wealth of his name. As the mighty God, everything belongs to him because he was before all and he created all. So he is the one that owns it all. Glory to God, I like that this morning, don't you? Listen what Jesus said. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Who gave him that power? God. You see, Jesus Christ as the Son of God is equal with God the Father. Amen. And all things belong to Christ. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Friend, I say to you this morning, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. How much is that, preacher? Nobody can tell me, amen. He is rich beyond comparison. I've heard the United States of America talk about this big lottery and who is going to win it and how rich they'd be. But I want to tell any one of you that if you had been given that much money, you would have been considered a poor person compared to the riches that you and I are going to have in heaven. I'm glad this world is not my home. I'm simply passing through. And Jesus Christ is the mighty God. He has created all things. And for us, my friend, he has given us salvation. He died for us and he rose again. And I thank God this morning that Jesus Christ is the mighty God. You understand, there's never been a time when he was not. And there'll never come a time when he'll cease to be. There'll never be a time where he'll ever grow or improve. Hey, you can't improve on perfection. And because he is perfect, there'll never come a time when he's worse. I bless his holy name this morning that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the mighty God. Hey, as the mighty God, he has met the demands of our life. Because, my friend, he came down to this earth and took upon himself humanity, yet sinless, shed his blood in humility, and let you and I, amen, come to him by faith, and he'll save our sin-sick soul. When we stood in need of a Savior, God himself sent his own Son that you and I might be redeemed. Friend, Jesus took our guilt and gave us his grace. And I say, bless his holy name today. You may have demands, you may have issues, but I want to say this to you. If he has power enough to create you, and if he has power enough to convert you, he has power enough to keep you. And he has power enough to keep and meet your every need. He is a providing God for his people. I want you to see fourthly this morning, not only the wonder of his name, he's wonderful, and the wisdom of his name, he's counselor, and the wealth of his name as the mighty God. But I want you to see the worship of his name. He said, the everlasting Father. Now, preacher, how could Isaiah be writing that Jesus, the Son of God, would be called the everlasting Father? Listen to Jesus' words. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He said to Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Hey, a father speaks of the care of God, the concern of God, the compassion of God. That's what a father speaks of. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 103, verse 13, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. In Isaiah chapter 63 and in verse number 9, in his love and in his pity, he redeemed us. You see, Jesus, my friend, has adopted us into the family of Almighty God, and he is the everlasting Father. Now, he is a name for every need. And if he is the everlasting Father, and his is the worship of his name, then that means he's the everlasting Father for the difficulties of my life. What do you mean, preacher? There's going to come some difficulties and some hardships that we're going to go through. And preacher, how are we going to make it? Because he gives you an unconditional and unexplainable love. Friend, he loves you if you do right, and he loves you if you do wrong. He loves you unconditionally all the time, as a father loves his children. I'm going to tell you what, I love my children. They do wrong, and I get aggravated at the wrong they do, but I still love them. Oftentimes, I may have to correct one of them, but I correct them because I love them. Amen. And Jesus is the same with you and I this morning. No earthly father that's worth his salt would ever abandon his children. I'll say that again. No earthly father that's worth his salt would ever abandon his children. No wonder God said, Jesus said, I'll never leave thee and I'll never forsake thee. Glory to God. He knows how to take care of his youngins. Listen what he said in Matthew 7, verse number 11. Friend, a good father will never lead you into distress. A good father would never lead his children into despair. He would never lay a trap for his children. But Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11 says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things unto them that ask him. Hey, we have a Father that's going to protect us, a Father that's going to preserve us, a Father that's going to provide for us, a Father that's not going to fail us, a Father that's never going to flee us, a Father that's never going to forsake us. No wonder Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 9, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He has a name, he has a title, a character that is above every other name. And I see this morning the very worship of his name. He'll be worshiped for all of eternity future. Even the devil himself will be brought in and humbled down on his knee to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. With his own deceiving lips, for the first time, he's going to speak truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Whew. Boy, what a worship service that's going to be, amen. When we see the devil have to humble himself, hallelujah. Been a lot of times the devil showed up at church. Been a lot of times the devil tried to hinder the meeting. But that'll be one meeting, amen, that he'll never hinder. Hallelujah. Boy, glory to God, that excites me to death, amen. Fifthly, I want you to see the Bible says that he's also called the Prince of Peace. I want you to see to me that is the welcome in his name. You see, we live in a world that's starving for peace. Folks are hungering for peace, seeking peace. They'd pay for peace if they could get it. But my friend, this morning, peace is not found in possessions. You already found that out. Peace is not found in persons. It's not found in politics. And it's not found in preeminence and prestige. Peace is only found in one place. It is found in Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. You remember what Jesus said in Matthew 11? He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That word is another word for peace. When you're troubled, when you have turmoil, he said, "I will give you rest. I will give you peace." Friend, he said in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." This world will never know peace till Jesus comes. Oh yes, I got peace when I got saved, but the world still gives me trouble. There's been a few times in the last 2 weeks I became very anxious about situations, very bothered about situations. Have you ever been there? He said, "Lord God, I'm supposed to be the preacher, and I buried myself in the Word of God and buried myself in prayer and bathed my petition in worship to the Lord." And the Lord began to take that anxiety and those things away. Friend, I want to say to you today, the only peace I've ever found is in Jesus Christ. You'll not find it anywhere else. He removes hostility and hatred. He turns chaos into comfort. He turns trouble into triumph, amen. He turns vice into victory. He's turned problems into peace. Think about the disciples in the storm there. And when he got up on the back of the boat, what'd he say? "Peace, be still." And the winds and the waves laid down. And the disciples said, "What manner of man in this? Is this that even the waves and the winds obey him?" I'll tell you this morning, Jesus is the peace speaker. Hey, somebody here said, "Boy, I wish he'd whisper sweet peace this morning in my situation." Oh, he will. You want it, he will. He's the peace speaker, and he's the peace giver. He said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world give I give, not as the world gives, give I unto you." Hey, we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. He's also the peacekeeper. Boy, I'm telling you, I've seen a lot of situations, man, it would have blowed things apart and stacked it up like firewood, but I've seen Jesus get in it and peace, speak peace to it, and he's the peacekeeper. I'm glad for that this morning, aren't you? I want to close by saying this morning. There was a woman, she was in China. There was a missionary that was in China, and the woman came to the missionary. He was a medical missionary, and oh, she had so many problems. She was in such despair and such difficulty. And she came with a medical missionary, and he began to work on her wounds and work on her situation. And as he was there working as a doctor upon her, he had someone that could translate. And he was always tell people about Jesus. And he began to tell this woman about Jesus, that he would be the one that could hear her problems and turn them around. That he would be the one that could give her peace when there was no peace in her family and there was no peace in her community. That he'd be the one that he came, the Son of God, to this earth and lived a sinless life. Though it hated him, though it rejected the Prince of Peace, he came anyway. She listened to what he had to say. He began to tell her about he's the mighty God and he's the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is wonderful and he is Counselor. That little woman said, "I do not know this man, but if this man can give me that, what must I do to have my life changed?" He said, "Simply believe that he gave his life for you and he was buried and rose again on the first day of the week. Simply repent of your sin and call on the name of Jesus." She bowed her head and she prayed that day and she received Christ as her Savior. She walked back out in the village of China. She was there week after week after week after week. She came back to the medical missionary, tears running down her face, and she said, "Sir, I have been saved, but tell me his name again." The medical missionary looked at her. She said, "Speak his name again. He's altogether lovely to my soul. Speak his name once more." He said, "You mean Jesus." She said, "That's it. Jesus." There's just something about that name when you speak it that wells something up in my soul. I found out, amen, that he is wonderful. I found out that he is the wise counselor. I have found out that he is the wealth of the mighty God. I have found out this morning that he is the one to be worshipped as the everlasting Father. And I found out this morning, amen, that he is the Prince of Peace. No doubt about it this morning. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has a name that's above all names. I wonder this morning if there might be somebody here say, Preacher Darren, I want to worship him. Won't you stand to your feet? I worship him this morning. I tell you, Christmas season, it's all about Jesus. All these places, these marketplaces that say we want to say happy holidays because we're afraid to say Merry Christmas. Hey, there would be no Christmas if it weren't for Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Maybe there's somebody here today that says, I'll tell you what, preacher, I need some wisdom. I need God to counsel me. Someone come to the piano and play. I need God to show me the way and guide me one more time. He's the name for every need. I have decisions. I have difficulties. I have demands in my life, and I cannot meet them alone. But I bow before the name that's above all names. He is a name for my every need, and I bow before him to worship him today. Folks are moving all around this morning. Would you come today? Turn this thing over to Jesus and watch what he's going to do. Would you come? Our Father and our God, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to look into a portion of the Word of God. And Father, I know that our few moments this morning before our congregation could never get accomplished all that needs to be said about Jesus. For to me, he is wonderful. To me, he is the all-wise God. To me, he is the all-wealthy one. He is the all-worshipful one. And he is the welcoming one. I'm glad he'll never turn away anyone who wants to come to him. So, Lord, we come to Jesus with our difficulties and our demands and our despair, and we cast them at Jesus' feet, knowing that he will give us comfort, knowing that he will give us care, knowing that he will show us tender compassion. Oh, I'm thankful that somebody was willing to share with me the world's sweetest name, heaven's sweetest name, the name of Jesus.